Europe, a personal view on Kaput Radio. Hello, I'm Martin, and I am from Europe, migrated to Australia in the mid-1980s. I'm in contact with Europeans on a regular basis via email. I watch, listen, and read European videos, audio, and web pages. I also meet Europeans in this tourist town of mine called Nimbin. Aren't I entitled to give some informed comment about present-day Europe? But starting with my memories of the European history of the post-World War II period and the Cold War, I can recall feelings and knowledge having lived in Germany and having traveled extensively to many European countries. There is one common thread I observed with Europeans. Feeling secure is achieved by constant striving for professional improvements with numerous education efforts and perpetual retraining to stay employable or to improve the career prospects. Particularly in Germany, the whole existence is based on security through steadily growing incomes. Obedience to conform to the norms and standards are mandatory, even if they have little to do with the actual employment situation. It is common to worry about everything, as if the underlying cause for the common feeling of insecurity has been indoctrinated since early childhood. Well, this is true for many other places in the world, but in Europe it has a specific underlying cause. Europe subsidizes, taxes, and hopes to maintain the peace, since the shock of two world wars is deeply embedded even in the youngest generation. Europe suffered from 1,000 wars and conflicts in 1,000 years, they say. It seems conflicts are perceived to be normal. German angst is real. It plays a strong part in the mentality and psychological makeup of Europeans. If not outright war, tension remains, especially felt with a nuclear apocalyptic threat during the Cold War years. A period with enormous economic growth after the initial post-World War II rebuilding phase. Europeans can be easily manipulated with media-manufactured threats and fear of pending war. And yet, the profitable periods show that economically these periods were engineered to overcome flagging growth in countries within the present Eurozone. We had the Bosnian conflict, and now the hostilities in the Ukraine. The economy thrives best when the threat level is maintained but the actual hostile enactment kept at a dangerous threshold. It got out of hand, so to speak, that means from the threat level to the actual war acts, with dire consequences for many people, including civilians. After the global financial crisis of 2008, Europe's economy has been faltering. The failing policies of austerity became very unpopular, engendering extreme political movements reminding us of the struggle of extreme right and left-wing parties of the past. People blame minorities, migrants, and each other on a daily basis with spurious arguments. With the inception of so-called social media, things are not in control of the major elites any longer. The manufacturing of consent via the old institutions such as mass media and political party machines and academic bodies fails. Politicians can't keep up the pace of these new phenomena where opinions and beliefs are constantly challenged. Populism such as Le Pen in France, UKIP in Britain, Pegida and AfD party in Germany replace the traditional parties of center-right and center-left, and an informed debate is hardly possible. No one believes anything or anyone. Consensus is near impossible to find in the old well-worn ways. Hung parliaments have become the democratic expression of today. Common with these new groups is a feeling based on the conviction of being disappointed with the status quo. Arguments range from false facts to the ridiculous, such as, quote, "They come and lay on our pockets and steal our jobs," unquote. Well, they, the migrants and minorities, can either do the one or the other, but not both. But as a matter of fact, their numbers are much smaller than claimed by populist movements. Governments, however, are happy to have them employed as cheap labor. The Guardian newspaper states in an article with the title, "What are Europeans afraid of most?" and I quote, "From terrorism in France to unemployment in Italy and pandemics in Britain, people's fears are wide-ranging and differ country by country," unquote. Yet, there is one common underlying cause. Society seems unconscious about the reality of a failing European concept of a common market, a market where subsidies and taxes supposedly should provide the required profits and incomes to meet the imperative of our global debt system. It is not possible. In Europe, the policy of austerity has become the target of scorn. But can austerity work as a remedy when the problem is a flawed understanding about the finance system? Trading within the common market cannot generate profits and incomes. Only export sales to the outside world would generate those. Expanding the common market as it has been done during the last 25 years does not solve the inherent problem. It only kicks the can down the street a little further. Now, with the European economies barely growing, the old flawed concept resurfaces and produces severe conditions on those in the common market who have been pumped up with large debts from their European partners, who are just as much in the precarious situation of losing value of their assets. It has become a big sinkhole threatening all of Europe as well as international economic growth. And looming wars are always in the consciousness of Europeans. The European Central Bank just stopped buying Greek bonds, thereby worsening the situation for Greece. This, of course, creates a crazy reaction, like Greece standing on top of a building and saying, "I will jump if you don't help me." Spain and Italy are watching the new Greek government with elections in Spain later this year. Some observers are worried about a domino effect. What can be done, you may ask? History shows, and some commentators echo this sentiment, some kind of debt write-off has to happen, and some stimulation and revival of the Mediterranean economies is required. Greeks, Spaniards, Italians, etc. have to create more profitable circumstances within their respective market, but also the need to export collectively as the whole of Europe to the rest of the world is necessary to succeed. Income has to be generated through export. So, we can see that despite the diverse reasons and historical backgrounds of different European countries, ultimately only a common policy for finance and economics has to be formulated. And as we see in the current period, this will be a slow process, with many compromises having to be negotiated. So-called European leaders' hands are tied to the rejigging of the economy to conform with the rules of the financial system of debt. Thank you for your interest. I'm Martin, and you can catch me again with future episodes of Kaputt Radio. Stay tuned!